Namo myoho renge kyo. Hi, friends. Hopefully this finds you in good health. I trust it does, and secure. Namo myoho renge kyo. Thank you for your practice. Thank you for being here and your support. Clicking, liking, subscribing. Yes, it's the simplest thing you can do to help propagate Nichiren's doctrine of Shakyamuni's Buddhism. Yeah. Lotus Sutra Buddhism specifically. First of all, before we continue with this great chapter 10 on the merits of the teacher of the Dharma Law, I wanted to just show you real quick that I have updated the page where it used to have two links for correct transmission. It now has a link that says Nirvana. And just a moment to talk about the website and this page in particular. This website's been growing since 1995, so it's not a new website. There's a lot of information on it, and some of it, frankly, may not be all that useful or maybe even a little obsolete. I need to make an effort to go through and clean up the website. If I can find time to do that, I will. I am, slowly. But this page in particular, I think, is very important for this resource that I've created. There are some of those buttons that lead to several pages, a PDF, of basically what you're seeing is my own research over the years for deep dives into certain concepts or terms and so on and so forth. All of that has been crystallized into the Buddhism reference book. Or books. And so I hope that each of you can get at least an e-version of that book, because it's a very quick and concise, try to be concise. Some Buddhist terms fight conciseness, but at any rate, a good reference book to go to get a quick idea of what a concept is as you're reading and studying in Buddhism, so that you keep coming back to Nichiren doctrine, Lotus Sutra Buddhism, and not get sent down some rabbit hole into some Tripitaka or Hinayana, you know, where the understanding is still not divorced from cultural and traditional biases and religiosity and mysticism, right? It still occurs today, and as you know, that's my primary directive with this whole resource. Videos, books, all of it, right? To extricate the teachings of Shakyamuni Buddha and his insights and Nichiren's insights and doctrines free of cultural and traditional biases. There's all kinds of misunderstandings out there, and they start with inappropriate terminologies and words. You know, much as we want to search for meaning, if the words are full of charisma and characteristics that may be quite familiar to us, that's the problem, is that we'll take for granted that something means something that it's not meant to mean. That makes sense. So yeah, that's my primary directive. But my second directive, equally important, is that as I'm filtering out these bogus terminologies so that we can get a clear avenue to the meaning of Lotus Sutra Buddhism and Nichiren's insights, that I provide some basics without going too esoteric, but just basic capture of concepts, terms, words. And that is happening on the website. The books, like Buddhism Reference, go a little bit beyond basics, because you need to understand the terms and words of Buddhist scholarship as completely as you can while forming your own insights and associations, yeah? The website has a lot of buttons that just have little PowerPoint and some words. They're very basic. And my idea with that is that you have, well, a reference of sorts for yourself, especially if you're just starting out. But more to the point, something we all struggle with is how do we answer people's questions? How do we approach a question about, well, what does Nirvana mean? Right? And so what I put up on the website, and again, that middle button at the top there, Nirvana, if you follow that link, what you'll get is, I think it's just 3-4 pages of illustrations with very few words that cover the concept. And what actually that presentation shows is the common misunderstanding of what Nirvana is versus what actual Nirvana is. Now, it's not super detailed. It doesn't take a deep dive into the nature of the skandhas and how consciousness are created. You can do that, but that's not the purpose of that page. That page is there to illustrate very basic, straightforward understanding of concepts and words. And as that, I think they perform as a sort of quick teaching aid, right? A lot of times, again, we are, as bodhisattvas, put in the position of parent. And so anyone who's starting out in Buddhism, I don't care if they're 10 years old, 40 years old, or 80 years old, the concepts, the basis of the thinking is the same. And so if you can approach it that way, oftentimes when you give a basic answer to something, it gives the student, the child, the student, the monk, a framework to alter their frame of thinking, of reference. And that's an important device. Without giving away the complexity, which is often overwhelming, a simple, especially with a picture, which I'm visual, so I like to use that, gets the juices flowing, if you will, on, well, if it means that, and then other questions will come, fine. Then you can get deeper and more involved, right? Then you can start quoting Gosho or the Lotus, right, to take deeper dives. But you need a starting point. An introductory, the creaking of that Gohonzon mind opening. And then from that, what you have is this slow shift of perspective. And isn't that Buddhism? Shifting that paradigm shift of all of our consciousnesses toward the one goal. So anyway, that's what I'm doing on that page. And I hope you make use of it or that it is of use for you. If you don't need it, you don't need it. But it's there whenever you choose to check it out. All right. So last we left chapter 10, we were talking about people learning the Lotus Bodhisattva way. Yes. And so we'll just continue. With the next paragraph says, if these good sons and daughters after my extinction should be able, even by stealth, to teach to one person even one word of the Law Flower Sutra, know these people are Tathagata apostles sent by the Tathagata to perform Tathagata deeds. How much more so those who in great assemblies widely teach to others. So again, to recap, and I think I mentioned this last, Tathagata is the reality of the universe, life. The process, the potential of energies to combine, to amalgamate, and to produce yet other amalgamations on top of and end up with this incredible array that I call the karmic freight train that each, not just each one of us has, but so does a tree, a cosmos, a planet, rain. Everything has an amalgam of energies in different formations that express themselves in the realm of form. Namarupa, yeah? I mean, Shakyamuni's been talking about this since day one. So in Mahayana, in the Lotus Sutra, we really nail this down with what you might say is the complexity I was referencing earlier in my little pre-talk. But, I mean, that's the nature of anything. Once you dig, like science, look more and more granularly into how something comes into being. Yes? So Tathagata is the engine of life. And it expresses itself in unknowable numbers of forms, and it is still devising new expressions as we speak. We will run into things we never have run into before. On the one hand, because we're looking, and on the other hand, because that's the engine of life. It's constantly expressing itself in new, different, modulated ways. Yeah? And what this paragraph simply says is that if you teach, even if you have to do it surreptitiously, in other words, I remember when I first, you've heard this story before. My mom is neurotic. She's a nervous wreck all the time. She has OCD and she, anyway, we don't, the point is that even having just a straightforward conversation with her is just ballistic, up and down, ecstasy, tragedy. I mean, her emotions are all over the place. And then she starts to breathe quickly and she has panic attacks. And unfortunately, I inherit that from her, so I'm not perfect. But at any rate, I told her to get a hold of her breathing. Well, because when that happens, she's not thinking about her breathing. I said, you know, you can do something. It's a Buddhist something, so I hope that doesn't, because she's very Catholic. I said, but it's just a series of sounds worthy, and it controls your breathing. And that's how I introduced her to the Daimoku. If you just repeat this set of sounds, it's just seven sounds, and if you repeat it over and over again, you will find that very quickly you will control your breathing, and it will calm you down. So just do it as a way to calm yourself. Namu myo ho renge kyo. Say it again. Namu myo. And if you can just repeat those seven sounds in order, you will naturally control your breathing. And that's how I introduced her to Daimoku. I wasn't teaching her about enlightenment and how she could be achieve Buddha-ness or open her Buddha. None of that. I just wanted her to be able to calm herself. And to what degree she does it, I don't know. But I planted the seed. And every now and again, I revisit that idea with her. She knows what I do. She doesn't really pay attention to any of it. She, like I said, she's in her own little world all the time. A super example of samsaric mind in my life. So I appreciate her for that, yeah? In that example, she teaches me. Even though she doesn't know it, she's being a good friend, unfortunately, through her suffering, which I wish I could alter, and I'm altering it as much as I can by using expedient devices to get her to improve her own mind, yeah? Anyway, so when he says, even by stealth, that's what he's talking about, skillful means, expedient devices. And he's saying, even if you teach one word, know these people are Tathagata apostles. So I don't like the word apostles, but if you take it literally for what it means, without religious context, we are enacting the universal engine of life, embodied, expressed through our sentient minds, our human interaction, right? And if we attain our own Buddha eye, we then are Buddhas or Bodhisattvas of the Tathagata that is innate in everything. So Tathagata is always there to the point that we express it in our lives. That's what he's talking about. Sent by the Tathagata to perform Tathagata deeds. Well, there it is. Not actually postmarked and sent, but we are expressions of Tathagata when we behave in the discovery, the expression, the teaching of Tathagata-ness, yes? And that's what this chapter is about, right? So again, this is a operation manual for Lotus Bodhisattvas. If you want to know what a Lotus Bodhisattva is, read this chapter. There are others, but this is the first one that really nails it down, chapter 10. Medicine King. He's still talking to Medicine King. Even if there be some wicked person who, out of a deluded and erroneous mind, throughout a whole kalpa, appears before the Buddha and unceasingly blasphemes the Buddha. In other words, you know what blasphemes mean. Just disrespects, harasses, right? His error or delusion is still light. But if anyone, even with a single ill word, defames the lay devotees or monks who read and recite the Law Flower Dharma Sutra, his error or delusion is extremely heavy. What does that mean? Being humans, humans gonna human. Right? In the normal scope of behavior of a human being, with our roller coaster of emotions and highs and lows, we're gonna say utter crap, and at both ends of the spectrum. We're going to feel so elated that we're going to say nonsensical things just in celebration of how elated we are. And at other times when we feel our very being is being challenged or insulted or whatever, out of our mouths, and I know I've done it, things will, caustic things, angry things, just will come spewing and spitting out of our mouths. Sometimes to our own surprise, wow, I can't believe I said those things, right? But we will. That's just samsara. And what it really indicates, lest you be insulted by hearing those words or misled, they're just expressions of karma. Karma being influenced and, how to say it, unharnessed realms, the 3,000 realms. Oh boy, that was a bunch of rage from the world of hell. I wasn't even prepared to hear myself do that. And how was it inspired to come out of my mouth? Perhaps it was the world of hunger or animality. Perhaps my competitive spirit wanted to just squash you. Or my unreasonable desire for things that I will never satiate, world of hunger. Just put me in a panic and just words spewed out of my mouth, not even in proper order, just bleh. Right? We're all capable of it. But if you let that life condition, words, world, realm influence you, well, you're doing that. You're taking that offense. Don't take that offense. Convert yourself to a compassionate mind, single-mindedly think Buddha, and then it won't touch you. What you will develop is a deep sense of compassion, because what you're watching is pain, suffering. It's always self-imposed, even though we and we think it's coming out of us onto something else. All we're doing is expressing our raw samsaric problem. It's just like yelling out or crying when you hit your thumb with a hammer, or when somebody disconnects from you, right? The loss of a friendship or a lover or a job. Whatever comes out of you is an expression of your pain. And this is exactly what Buddhism wants to address. This is just life expressing itself. No need to take it on. The only thing you can develop truly is compassion. Oh, like a child crying. You want to make it stop. You want to help it not feel the need to cry. Right? All right. Medicine King, he who reads and recites the Law Flower Dharma Sutra, know this. That man has adorned himself with the adornment of the Buddha, and so is carried by the Tathagata on his shoulder. You're an expression of Tathagata. Wherever he goes, he should be saluted with hands wholeheartedly folded, revered, honored, and extolled, and offerings made to him of flowers, perfumes, garlands, sandal powder, perfumed unguents, incense for burning, silk canopies, banners, so on and so forth. He should be served with the most excellent offerings found amongst men. Now, don't get a big head about this. He's not saying that we should, because we read, write, copy, extol the Lotus Sutra as bodhisattvas of Nichiren's doctrine and the Lotus Sutra Buddhism. Don't expect people to run out of their houses and kneel around us and fawn over us. That's not what he's saying. He's saying that we should be well respected. That doesn't mean that we will be. In fact, the exact opposite is often the case, because people are confronted by something they don't understand and seems to them to portend that it's superior to them. Ooh, right? They take offense. And knowing that should make you parentally feel the need to help them out. With wisdom, sometimes you need to get the hell out of the way, because some people are very vociferous in their taking of offense. Yeah, right? He should be sprinkled with celestial jewels and offerings made of celestial jewels in heaps. For what reason? Because this man, delighting to teach the law, they who hear it, but for a moment thereupon attain perfect enlightenment. And this is the attitude we need to have amongst ourselves. You're learning and attaining your enlightenment. And to the degree you help others simply by your presence, let alone teaching them, assisting them, the most honorable thing to do amongst humans. There is no other purpose for our lives here. Really? Do you really think that your purpose in life is to make yet another shoe? Right? To design yet another dwelling? To raise yet another cow? Or till the soil? I'm not saying these aren't honorable pursuits. Don't misunderstand me. But as for a purpose in life, if you want to know what the purpose of human life is, the big one of the big questions, right? Who am I? Why am I here? What am I doing? Enlightenment. Wiping away the causes of suffering. If there's one leitmotif of human life, the cosmos, it's pain, it's suffering, it's worry, it's anxiety. Then the world-honored one, desiring to proclaim this teaching over again, spoke thus in verse. Should one wish to abide in the Buddha way and accomplish intuitive wisdom, he must always earnestly honor the keepers of the wonderful flower Dharma of the priori law. Should one wish to quickly attain every kind of wisdom, he must receive and keep this sutra and honor those who keep it. Should one be able to receive and keep the wonderful Law Flower Dharma Sutra, know he is the Buddha's apostle, the Tathagata's apostle, yeah, who has compassion for all living beings. He who is able to receive and keep the wonderful Law Flower Dharma Sutra, giving up his pure land or the pure, clear position he had attained, and from pity for the living, being born here, know such a man as this, free to be born where he will, is able in this deluded and malicious world widely to teach the supreme law. You should, with celestial flowers and perfumes, garments of heavenly jewels, and heaps of wonderful celestial jewels, pay homage to such a teacher of the law. In deluded and malicious ages after my extinction, those who are able to keep this sutra must be saluted and revered with folded hands as if paying homage to the world-honored one. So we are all envoys of Tathagata. Envoys. I like that better than apostles. I think I might do a global replace on that word. What do you think? Where does it say apostles there? And I will say envoy. Yeah, much better word. And captures the meaning accurately, I think. With the best of dainties and abundant sweets and every kind of garment, this son of the Buddha should be revered in the hope of even a momentary hearing. In future ages, if anyone is able to receive and keep this sutra, I will send him to be amongst men to perform the task of the Tathagata. If anyone in the court... Now, that's an interesting short statement there. And this relates to something that I've said to you many times. You don't need to go hunting around and skulking in parking lots to accost people and smack them with the daimoku. The Tathagata, the Buddha here, makes this vow to you. In future ages, if anyone is able to receive and keep this sutra, I, Buddha, will send him to be amongst men to perform the task of the Tathagata. The way I say it is, you're going to radiate your life condition and it will be received, encountered, felt by others. And it will make them curious. Some will adventure to meet you. Some will run away. Some will come up to you and ask you a question. Whatever it is, some will come up to you and start talking about themselves. For no apparent reason. Be entertained. Be gracious. Be appreciative. Because you should know they're there to learn about the Lotus Sutra. They may not know it, but they sense it. If you can spark a friendship, that's really great. I'd like to know more about you. Should we get together sometimes, do you think? Would it be fun? Would you be interested in coming over to my house and meeting my dog? Go slow. Be gentle. They come over. Oh, what's that? Oh, that's my butsudan. Oh, are you like a Buddhist or something? Yeah, or something. You curious about it? I'll show you my mandala if you're curious. Oh, I'd love to see it. Right? Be human. Be compassionate. That's a leader. If anyone in the course of a kalpa unceasingly cherishes a wicked heart and with angry mien rails at the Buddha, he commits an infinitely heavy error. But anyone who reads, recites, and keeps this sutra of the flower, law flower, should one abuse him even a moment, his error or delusion is much heavier. Think about that. Why do you think that is? Well, somebody can be abstractly angry at something without knowing anything about it. So, you know, again, don't take offense. That's just somebody in pain. But somebody comes up to you and says, hey, Jagoff, you Buddhist, you say all of this about this Daimoku and this and that and this and that. You think you're better than everybody. Screw you. You're a this, you're a that, blah, blah, blah. That's intentional. Now, you don't take offense, of course, but that's not just pain. That's outright trying to cause pain. That's a terrible cause, yeah? They are personally attacking a representative of Tathagata. They're making a horrible cause. That should alarm you, not piss you off. Oh, please, please don't say those things. Please don't. Obviously, we got started on the wrong foot. I hope you'll reconsider. But please, don't continue this way. Oh, why? Is it hurting the little feelings? Actually, it makes me concerned. My concern is for your happiness, and I just don't want you to lose out, miss it. Oh, you arrogant so-and-so, blah, 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 and they walk away. Namo myoho renge kyo. Don't be angry with them, right? This should raise your compassion and give you a target to elevate your life conditions so much more that kind of an attack is repelled before it ever comes to you. It should reach the mind of that person that they're being foolish before they even attempt to embark on that path. That's your life condition that'll change that. I don't mean to be harsh. It's just that's the way it works. Yeah. Anyone who seeks after the Buddha way and for a complete kalpa with folded hands in my presence extols me in numberless verses because he thus extols the Buddha will acquire infinite merit. Infinite merit. What life condition would that be like? But he who praises the bearers of the sutra, his happiness will be even greater. So not only will your life condition be immeasurably greater being a champion of this Lotus Dharma Sutra, but if you should find a teacher that inspires you and you extol that teacher's merit to others, even more, even higher, even greater your life condition. See? and if you inspire others to see you as a mentor, their life condition will raise much faster than if they were practicing on their own. Thus is the mission of the Bodhisattva. We are the representatives of the engine of life. If you're in a cave practicing all manner of lauding the engine of life, that's meritorious. But to share it with other beings, your life grows exponentially, because then your life isn't just a hermetic thing. It becomes connected, quite literally, to the life of the cosmos, even through one other individual. That's why we've read before, even if one person alone is inspired to aspire to Buddhahood by you, your assistance, your bodhisattva, your life condition is boundless, because that's what connects us to the engine of life. Not just a single solitary experience of it. This is why the bodhisattva path is so mind-alteringly greater than the semblance dharma, the arhat, the pinnacle of sravaka. That's great, but it's not even it's a minute part of the whole. Anuttara Samyak Sambodhi, perfect and complete enlightenment. During 80 kodas of kalpas with the most excellent color, sound, scent, flavor, and touch, if one reveres the sutra bearers, if having thus revered, he hears it from them but for a moment, then let him joyfully congratulate himself, saying, I have now obtained a great benefit. Medicine King, now I say to you, of the sutras I have taught, amongst all these sutras, the law flower dharma is the very foremost. Thereupon the Buddha again addressed Medicine King Bodhisattva Mahasattva, saying, infinite thousand myriad kodas of are the sutras I teach, whether already taught, now being taught, or to be taught in the future, and among them all, this law flower dharma sutra is the most difficult to accept and the most difficult to understand. How many times have you heard Nichiren quote this 10th chapter? It's such a fundamental thing to understand about this teaching. Medicine King, this sutra is the a priori essential treasury of all Buddhas, the Tathagata, the engine of life, which must not be distributed among or recklessly delivered to men. A caution. You just can't get on the TV and start extolling without knowing who you're talking to, without knowing the minds of those you're speaking to, because you can set a lot of negativity into motion doing that. And people will be slandering the law without having any clue what they're doing. You don't want to be guilty of doing that, right? So you have to be thoughtful. It is watched over by Buddhas, world-honored ones, and from a long ago. It has never been revealed and taught. And this sutra, while the Tathagata is still here, has aroused much enmity and envy. How much more after his extinction? How much more after I, the embodiment of Tathagata in a human being, Buddha, when I'm gone, there won't be any signpost here for all of you to come to, right? How much more disarray will be possible? I have a note here. This previous paragraph contains words often quoted by Nichiren, as I said, in his criticisms of other schools, as well as a reminder to treat the lotus with respect and dignity at all times. being cautious not to waste effort on those who would do harm to the followers of the Lotus or Sutra itself by their ignorance and delusions. Stay vigilant, yes? Stay dignified. Understand the preciousness of what you're practicing. He goes on, no, Medicine King, after the Tathagata is extinct, those who are able to copy, keep, read, recite, revere, and teach it to others will be invested by the Tathagata with his robe and will be protected and remembered by Buddhas abiding in other regions. They shall have great powers of resolve and the power of a resolute vow and the powers of victorious or virtuous character. No, those people shall dwell with the Tathagata, and the Tathagata shall place his hand upon their heads. Medicine King, in every place where this sutra is taught or read or recited or copied or its volumes are kept, one should erect a kaitya, a pagoda, which sutras are deposited in. From this chapter on the erection of kaityas instead of stupas or pagodas for relics is stressed. So where in ancient days, earlier teachings, everything was about a stupa for the relics of Buddha, in this Mahayana, that has changed or morphed into the teachings are what are to be kept. And the stupa is our butsudan housing, the mandala of Nichiren, our preeminent tool for opening our Gohonzon gate to open our Buddha eye, yes? And the teachings that lead us there need to be kept safe and together for our reference, our study, our inspiration. I'm expressing that very thing throughout this resource, the website, the videos, the podcast, the books. I'm creating my own online kaitya, right? For what reason? Because in it, there is the whole body of the Tathagata. This kaitya should be served, revered, honored, and extolled with all kinds of flowers, perfumes, garlands, silk canopies, banners, flags, music, and chants. If any seeing that kaitya, salute and revere it, knowing that they are near to perfect enlightenment. Know that they are all near perfect enlightenment. Medicine King, many people, as there are, both laymen and monks, who walk in the Bodhisattva way without, as it were, being able to see, hear, read, recite, copy, keep, and revere this Law Flower Dharma Sutra, know that those people are not yet rightly walking in the Bodhisattva way. But if any of them hear this sutra, then they shall be able to walk aright in the Bodhisattva way. If any living beings who seek after the Buddha way either see or hear this Law Flower Dharma Sutra, and after hearing it, accept and discern, receive and keep it, you may know that they are near perfect enlightenment. Now, on that note, I'll save the next part for the next video. Is this not a very profound and dense chapter? There are scholars that look upon these chapters without understanding the profundity of the meaning. Just read the words, as scholars tend to do. Even some of my favorite scholars, right? They read these words and they think, the Lotus Sutra is so full of itself. I've heard that. It's just a self-congratulatory thing. Well, they completely miss the point. The Lotus Sutra isn't busy making itself important. What it's doing is demonstrating the importance in our mental attitude and intent. Using this as the tool to realize the depth, the profundity of the engine of life as it is being expressed moment to moment in your life, in my life, in their lives, in her lives. Right? Namo myo renge kyo. It's truly, truly profound. Namo myo renge kyo. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. With great appreciation, please take a few seconds to like and subscribe. It's a bodhisattva act. It propagates, yes? And if you can do more, if you can buy an ebook or a print book, or you need an accurate mandala, a digital copy of Nichiren's actual inscription, that's the only one that we should be practicing with, right? The website with all of its information, everything you need and more, if you'll let me know what I'm missing, to inspire ourselves to keep our aspiration for enlightenment going. That's the whole mission here. So share it, use it, belong to this Sangha. I so appreciate and with great gratitude from those who can like and subscribe or buy books or patrons on Patreon, PayPal, right? Universal worthy bodhisattvas all. I will see you in the next one. Take care of your health. Keep your practice strong, and I'll see you then. Bye for now.